Today is exciting because we're going to continue the interview with Adam Field, an evangelist with Co-Mission. I'm telling you, powerful things are happening because he loves Jesus and he wants everybody to know about him. Let's go there now.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So some of the things that we're seeing, that I'm seeing, is, you know, great awakening, revival so large that, you know, God is gathering the nations to come. And one of the things the Lord showed me about the region that we're in, calling it the glory zone, from Destin to Mississippi, the whole Gulf Coast area, that God has just shown that he's got something special that he's going to do. You know, we have revival here in 1995, led by a spiritual father of mine, Pastor John Kilpatrick, and that it touched the world, but it's like this region it didn't touch. This region didn't respond to it, yet the world was being touched.
Yeah.
And that then we had the Mobile Bay whole revival that took place, and God's been moving. But a big move of God is coming to where, you know, it's going to take us all working side by side to minister to hundreds of thousands at the same time coming. And that at the same time, what's going to happen is probably great tribulation to cause a shaking and quaking and break up the soil. But at the same time, also a wealth transfer to be able to bring in the harvest. So all this is going to happen at the very same time. And the Lord has shown me that great wealth is coming to be able to put into his whistle. God's got a whistle. He said he blows it and he gathers the nations. And so he's going to blow that whistle and they're going to come from everywhere.
Yeah.
And we have to be ready for it.
We have to be ready.
And one thing that I don't believe that we're, as a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me and showed me that we're not ready for it. One way you know we're not ready for it is because we can't handle great wealth. I mean, God's been giving his people for years great wealth, and it just goes through their lives and they don't understand why they don't have.
Yeah.
And that he wants to prepare us to handle that.
That's
because
right.
It takes a lot to be on television around the world. It takes a lot to send evangelists around the world. It takes a lot to bring a people to a place, or just to get her off the streets and to do different things, whatever it is. And so I mean, even at Brownsville, when we were there during the Brownsville revival, it took a lot of, you know, people were coming by the thousands and coming and coming out, which is a beautiful thing. So speaking of that, what are you seeing in the context of that? Because what I'm seeing, the Lord's showing me, it seems like it's all going to happen at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, his glory is going to be outpoured. Once his glory, I mean, there's nothing like the glory of God. And that at that point, everybody has a desire to give, but the thing the Lord showed me is we're not ready for that, which means it would be a momentary move of God. It wouldn't be lasting because we didn't prepare ourselves for what's to come.
I want to share something with you that I believe is very prophetic. I'm not a prophet. I'm an evangelist, but I do believe this is prophetic. I was out on Pensacola Beach, and I was walking the beach, and I saw a tidal wave. It was nearly a mile high, heading right towards Pensacola Beach. Mm. And as I'm watching this tidal wave coming, I knew it was a vision, so there was no fear in it. I knew this was a dream. I knew this wasn't real. But as I saw this tidal wave coming, I was able to nearly like have an eagle's view of the map of the United States, watching this tidal wave coming in from the Gulf. And it stretched from the Gulf all the way, this wave covered all the way up until it hit Kentucky for whatever reason.
Awesome.
But it went all the way to Kentucky. Wow. This tidal wave just flooded every state between here and Kentucky. And it was this massive wave. And then I started praying about what that meant. And I feel like there could be someone listening in. Mm-hmm. And this is for somebody here. And I believe it's prophetic. But there's somebody here listening in, and you're like a Joseph. Mm-hmm. You had a vision when you were a young man, and your family resisted, rejected, rebuked, laughed at you, said that could never happen, and even threw you into a pit, put you in a volatile place. and then maybe even felt bad about putting you there and sold you into education so you could get a job working, maybe the job you're in right now is you feel like you're a slave to your job. You're not happy with what you're doing in your occupation. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because that's basically what you're doing,
right,
whatever that occupation is, and you don't like it. And maybe even now you're dealing with people that are accusing you of falsehood, of doing wrong things, mm-hmm, like Joseph was, mm-hmm, accused by Potiphar's wife. And I want you to know that there's going to be seasons like those in our lives. And maybe those that are listening on, maybe for someone else, you feel like you're beyond that. You've outgrown that time in your life, and right now you're in the jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere that you go, you've experienced financial and favor, positional favor.
Mm-hmm.
This favor is, wherever you go, it seems, right, like you turn this way, you favor, you end up in this situation and there's favor. Well, Joseph had the keys of the cells in the jail. Right. He was the keeper of the jail, even though he was a prisoner, mm-hmm, himself. And there was two men in with him that were of very high prominence. And one of the men came to Joseph and said, I've had this dream and I want to share it with you. And Joseph interpreted the dream for the cupbearer and said, this dream means you're going to go right back to where you were removed from. You're going to become the cupbearer to Pharaoh, mm-hmm, which was a very elitist position because he was the one that tested the drink,
right,
before Pharaoh would,
right,
drink it,
right,
which meant you had to be a very trusted person and a person of prominence and wealth and prestige and closeness and even have influence over Pharaoh if,
right,
you're tasting his.
Mm.
And so when the other man that of prominence was there listening to the favorable interpretation of the dream, he said to Joseph, will you interpret my dream as well? Because,
right,
I want to get the same favor that you are pronouncing.
I want a piece of that.
I want a piece of that. And
little did he know, right?
Well, we have a lot of preachers that, yeah, will only cater to that message. They'll only speak that message of favor, you know,
right,
blessing.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be put back in your position. You're going to get 10 times your amount. You'll be put right back. But
everywhere
the thing is
good
about it is, if you're not spirit-led, then you're carnally led. And, mm, a carnal-led man will always preach to the pocketbook, will always, mm, preach to the donor, to the giver.
Wow,
we,
yeah,
got to have men that will preach to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance.
Right.
And in that moment, Joseph interpreted his dream,
right,
and followed the leading of the Spirit and said to this man, it's not going to fare well for you. You're going to die. You're going,
right,
to be impaled. It's,
yeah,
over for you.
Yeah.
We need men that are willing to listen to the Spirit and, right, preach what the Holy Spirit is telling them to preach.
And it happened.
Right, everything, yeah, happened.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about the story, and this might be for you or, mm-hmm, someone else,
mm-hmm,
is Joseph, the Bible says, was forgotten by that cupbearer for 2 years.
Mm.
You know, Joseph in his mind was thinking, man, this cupbearer is going to tell Pharaoh and I'm going to get released. But the cupbearer forgot about Joseph for 2 years. And there are times in our lives when we, mm, feel forgotten.
Mm.
We feel forgotten. We feel like, God, where are you in this? I feel forsaken.
Right.
I helped, mm-hmm, so-and-so out. Nothing came of it. I was a blessing to so-and-so. Mm. Nothing came of it. Why am I sowing seed in these places and not seeing any type of return?
Mm.
And you're feeling forgotten. But the whole time, mm, what God is working in you is a dependency on Him so that you will only glory in Him when you get to where God wants to bring you. Because God doesn't wish or will poverty on anyone.
Mm.
God has only abundance for His children. And heaven speaks of that abundance,
mm,
and where we're going. But to get to that place, we've got to be willing to go on that journey with Him. And when the cupbearer hears of the dream that Pharaoh had, the cupbearer says, I know a man, mm, who can interpret,
come
this
on,
dream for you. I remember a man,
yeah,
who was faithful to God, who,
mm,
who was committed to God, who wasn't just willing to preach what everyone wanted to hear,
right,
but he was willing to preach the whole counsel of Scripture, whether people gave to,
right,
it or held back from it.
Right.
A man that was different. He didn't just speak to those that tickled the ear. He spoke to those that wanted to hear the truth.
Right.
Joseph.
Yeah.
And Joseph is called into a position of favor and stands before Pharaoh and interprets Pharaoh's dream by saying to Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years, and this could be prophetic to someone,
right,
but there's going to be 7 years of prosperity. And with Donald Trump hopefully getting another 4 years, there could be another time ahead of prosperity,
mm-hmm,
and of favor. And in that time of prosperity and Pharaoh favor, Joseph said to Pharaoh, build storehouses of bread. Don't squander it. Don't buy sailboats. Don't buy that extra condo. Don't buy that mansion that you don't need. Don't buy that private jet that's going to get you all over the place.
Mm.
Put your resources into something that will go way beyond you and have legacy to it, because you don't want it just to be squandered on what you want selfishly. Be open to what God would tell you to do with those resources. And Pharaoh was humble enough to look at Joseph and say, you're the man.
Right.
And Joseph's response was powerful because he said to Pharaoh, I'm not the man.
Right.
God is the man. And I think God is bringing all of us on that journey of pits, of slave camps, of employment situations we don't want to be
betrayal
in.
Betrayal,
being forgotten.
He's still staying faithful to his minister. And
still being faithful and committed and pressing through it all. But I'm telling you, God is working character into you because he's going to give to you a position of favor that you're going to fund and resource these storehouses. And we desperately need storehouses. But what are the storehouses for us? We know that we don't need physical storehouses. When Jesus went to the cross, his purpose was to tear down the physical bricks and mortar building that everyone used to go to meet with God. Right now, we've bought into thinking that God still lives in bricks and mortar, but he doesn't. When Christ went to the cross 70 years later, when Titus of Rome came in, he destroyed the temple, and that temple is still in ruins to this very day to tell us today we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Yes.
So what we need to be investing into is not structures. We need to be investing into preachers and evangelists and ministers and preachers and invest into physical storehouses, raising up this generation. So when the famine comes, there will be storehouses that will preach not to the pocketbook, preach not to the donor, preach not to the giver, but preach the authority with the authority of Scripture, its entirety, and the whole council. We need full gospel preachers that are not bought by the purse, are not bought by the dollar, not bought by anyone. They're bought by the blood. They're blood bought and preaching the entire council of Scripture. If we can see that in our country, we will see young people and young women and young men flooding the church like we've never seen before.
Right, right.
They'll see something so different. They'll see a man not bought by money.
Right.
They'll see a man bought by the blood. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you're Joseph, invest into storehouses, invest into people, invest into TV shows like this, invest into evangelists, invest into people, physical people. And we will see storehouses.
We think about it. We're reaching around the world. We have an audience around the world. But the truth is, without the person who invests in what we're doing, we have businesses that stand with us. We have individuals who stand with us in Georgia. Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today with Adam, with Commission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
So, you've packed your shoebox full of love and prayer. Now to just get it to the other side of the world. Across the deep blue, around the mountain, and over the squeaky bridge. But how? Well, you could walk. That would take a very long time. You could fly, drive, and ride a llama to the village. But that would add up. You could ship it. But this would also cost a pretty penny. Actually, it would cost as much as 7,000 pennies. Or you could just include $9 in the box when you deliver it to Operation Christmas Child and let us drive it, ship it, fly it to where children will know the love of Jesus through it. But it doesn't stop there. Your $9 donation also provides the greatest gift booklet so children can take home and read the story of Jesus in their own language. And the Ministry Partner Guide, which is used to equip local churches to share the good news of Jesus in a child-friendly way. And all just for $9.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Now, we're reaching around the world. We have an audience around the world. But the truth is, without the person who invests in what we're doing, wow. We have businesses that stand with us, we have individuals Amen. That stand with us in church. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen. There's no way that a plane doesn't just fly you somewhere without them saying, it's going to be a ticket for you to go there.
That's right, exactly right.
And that we can invest in the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know, and that's what the thing the Lord showed me was, is that one way we're not ready, we don't understand that great wealth is to be able to advance the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not to buy more chocolate bars.
Right.
Because this is so fleeting, this life is so fleeting. But also you said, you know, what God showed you about this wave. I want yeah. to show you where Lord has spoke to us specifically about that wave. Mm. And we have a video we're gonna show you right now. You're gonna see it.
Wow.
But the Lord spoke to a couple of us about this wave and has shown us this humongous wave.
Yeah.
And how people are responding to it, and what's God going to do? And I believe it's obviously, you know, it's a great wave of a revival, but a great wave of revival also means that a great wave of destruction for those who don't want God, who are, you know, captive or that thing, and they don't want to go after God. But you got to see this; it's so powerful. It's going to confirm, you know, what God has just shown you.
Wow. As
a matter of fact, let's take a look at it now.
I was standing on a beach, and there was this huge wave coming, probably like 10 stories high or something. It was huge. And I'm just standing there, and it's like the wave is stopped at the shoreline, but the water is still moving. It's like constantly flowing, but it's the wave is just standing there waiting. And I see in the water, there's like people swimming in the wave and boats sitting. Like I remember boats being in the wave and like on top of the wave, just floating. And doing whatever.
Like 10 stories up.
Yeah. And of course, they look really tiny. So all these little, I just remember little white boats all in the thing. And then I'm standing on the beach and people are like partying on the beach. And like, I remember I could just see through the houses that were on the beach, and people were partying in the houses, you know, like drinking and dancing and all that kind of stuff. Like they didn't even know that the wave was there waiting to crash onto their houses or in their parties and whatever. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to run because I'm about to die. Like I remember thinking that. So I literally start running and I'm like trying to tell people, but nobody's paying attention. So I just start running and going. And then
when I had this dream, I just remember the emotion of it, the exhilaration of it. It was just, my heart was just like pounding out of my chest when I had this dream. In my dream, I was actually surfing. And in the natural, I don't know how to surf ever. I think I tried it once and looked really bad doing it. And matter of fact, I look like these guys in my dream. In this dream, I'm just surfing. I mean, I'm just ripping it up, just going back and forth, just cutting and jumping, like you see on television.
How big are the waves?
And in this particular part of the dream, the waves were maybe 20 or 30 feet, maybe. And while I'm surfing, there's actually people in the water swimming. And I felt like it was people at the church, you know, part of the event. And I'm just bouncing around them while they're watching me surf. That part of the dream ends. Then it shifts. Now I'm standing on this giant seawall. It was like 100 feet tall. When I say a seawall, it was like a man-made concrete brick wall. And at the bottom of it was the seashore. Kind of like you see on California where it's mountains, but this was actually a man-made wall. And I could see the horizon of the ocean. It just went off for miles. So where I'm standing, I'm on the seawall, and around me is the ground, you know, so there's grass and stuff. And then all of a sudden, as I'm looking at the horizon, I see this gigantic wave coming towards me. Huge. It comes all the way up to where I'm standing. Like I said, I was on the 100-foot wall, so the wave came all the way up to where I was standing. so it was level with me. But on the crest of this wave was Tracy, looking at me with just, I can't explain the look on her face. It was just like, dear God, I'm, you know.
So the crest
where
was
am
like
I?
The top of the wave, very peak of the wave?
Very peak of the wave.
Of a 100-foot wave?
The 100-foot
she,
wave.
Tracy was on?
She was on and some other people I didn't recognize.
What was she doing?
They were just in the water swimming. Or being carried, I don't know about swimming. They just went wherever this wave was going. So just as it rolls up nice and slow, then it begins to roll back out.
Is that awesome or what, man? You're looking at, you're talking about, you know, what you saw this wave. You didn't know that God's been showing us this wave coming in of his glory. I mean, does that kind of bear witness to what some of the things you're seeing?
100%.
Wow.
It actually gives detail to what I saw because I did see things in this wave, like what they were seeing, people were in this wave.
Dots. They're like dots so big. They were like just small.
I had no
things.
Explanation, but it was so huge that when I had this eagle view, it was nearly like I flew above and I could see down on the map,
and
I saw this wave extending all the way to Kentucky. It was pretty long stretch of wave, but it was just, I don't know why Kentucky of all the states in the country, but I saw Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Written down on the map. I couldn't see any other state names between here and there. And I don't know the geography. I'm from Ireland, so I don't know what states are in between here and Kentucky. I just know it's far away.
Mm.
But it was Kentucky.
Yeah, there's several moves of God taking place in Kentucky, and it makes a lot of sense, you know, to what we know that's happening in regards to that. You know, a couple of revivals, and I think there's something happening in Kentucky that always God is moving. There's pockets, there's like portholes or something going on where God is moving in Kentucky, and a lot of people from Kentucky come here and kind of back and forth, and so we're seeing that. So we believe that, you know, where, you know, God is gathering the nations to come to be impacted in the glory zone, that once touched by God, they will go back into their cities, nations, and carry what God is giving, carriers of what God is doing.
Yeah.
And then they'll go out, the four ends are gathered them, but then they'll go back out again.
Yeah.
And the wave of God's, I remember when the glory of God came, you know, at Brownsville Revival, we had God poured out, Father's Day, 1995. Mm. It was like a river of God's low current. Imagine water being electricity. It's like a low current wave of God's glory. Yeah. And you could just feel it. Well, this is like a wave of God's glory just overtaking.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting, exhilarating, but also, you know, it can be very costly. You know, being prepared for God. You know, talking about being all in, you need to be all in, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. We're going to come right back to the interview with Adam. It's just so encouraging. You're going to be so inspired. Listen, comment below. Share your thoughts. What are your thoughts about what's being shared on the program today with Adam, with Co-Mission, what we're talking about, the particular topic? We love hearing from you. Comment below. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Привет! Здравствуйте!
Мраво!
I received a shoebox gift
when I was 5 years old.
I was 9 years old and I received my shoebox.
The shoebox brought a lot of hope to me.
It reminded me that I was loved and that God loved me.
I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
And that changed my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is packing shoeboxes.
They really do change lives.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What would you say to somebody right now that they're just thinking, whatever, status quo, no big deal? You know, I sense you need to be prepared for.
No, I really do believe that if that's your way of thinking, you are the definition of a lukewarm believer.
Is it okay to be a lukewarm believer?
No, it's not okay. Lukewarmness breeds bacteria. Lukewarmness, you don't want to drink from a lukewarm well. You don't want to drink from a lukewarm spring. Mm-hmm. You want to drink from one that's either extremely cold or extremely hot. But lukewarmness breeds bacteria. And lukewarmness doesn't do much good for anybody. If you think about it, like if you go to a gym every single week and this particular gym that you go to has no weights, it has no workout instructors in terms of like breaking sweat.
Right.
And your coach just tells you, eat whatever you want and you'll lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
That gym would go out of business. Nobody would pay the membership fee on it.
Right.
Nobody would want to be a part of a gym like that
because
we all pay money for a gym membership to lose weight, to be healthier. And you know, if your Christianity is not making you uncomfortable, it's not challenging you, it's not progressing, it's not hungering, it's not thirsting, it's not wanting more than where you're at, then you might not be drinking from the same Holy Spirit. You know, the whole, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. God will be a consuming fire inside of you. I know this is challenging, but I think it's okay to examine whether you're in the faith. I believe every believer should examine whether they're in the faith, because there will be signs and there will be evidences whether you're in the faith. And if you're not in the faith, and if you're in a lukewarm state right now, and you've settled somewhere along your journey, and you've wanted mediocrity more than passion and fundamentalism, and you've ended up in the pig pen, as it were, because that is the end result of mediocrity and compromise and lukewarmness. You settle for less, and you've been living less than for a long time. Jesus is calling you up right now and saying, just repent. Your candlestick's not all the way out. I don't believe your candlestick will go out until our pulse stops here on this planet. We always have an opportunity to be white hot again. So repent. Repent today and say, you know, God, I don't want lukewarmness in my life.
Right.
I don't want to make peace with flesh or with sin or with lust. I don't want to make peace with the enemy. Train my hands to fight. Train my hands to war. Yeah. I want to fight. Right. I want to believe for my generation. The millennials are not going to hell in a handbasket.
No.
We're going to make it hard. Over my dead body, will one more sinner go to hell easily?
Right.
We need to rise up. We need to shake off. We need to invest into. We need to see the gospel message great in our generation. And we got to get white hot. He is a consuming fire.
Hey, I hate to interrupt this interview, but guess what? We're going to continue the interview with Adam Fields tomorrow. Make sure you join us on our next program. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray right now, inspiration, encouragement over those that are watching and listening right now, Father God, that you would touch them right now in a special way, Father God. Stir their hearts, God, for what's being shared in this program by your Spirit. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.